Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. Heavenly Father, we need your help. You called me to preach the gospel. You called me to lift up my voice as a trumpet and not talk about me, and not talk about anything I'm doing or anybody I'm friends with or fellowship with. You called me to preach Jesus Christ. That's what you called me to do. And that's what I want to do. I want to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm asking your help to do so. Tonight, next week, etc. For the rest of my life, I want to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for various people in the congregation that are sick, suffering with sinuses. I pray for a healing touch from heaven. And I'm not afraid to say that I believe that Jesus Christ heals the sick. It's nothing I can do. It's nothing I can say. I have no power. As the apostle said, it's not anything that we did, but it's the Jesus that we preach that causes people at times to be healed. It's Jesus that heals. It's Jesus that saves. It's Jesus that delivers. It's Jesus that gives wisdom from on high. We preach Jesus, and that's what it's about. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. But if you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Picking up where we left off last time, Matthew chapter 1. And I'll read just a little bit and then we'll begin to teach. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas, or Judah, and all his brethren. Verse 6, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And verse 11, and Josiah begat Jeconiah and his brethren about the time that they were carried away captive to Babylon. Verse 16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David unto the carrying away unto Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. And as we've already prayed, I'd like to begin teaching the passage. Last time, we went over a good part of this. But we said, as a quick review, that the book Matthew opens talking about Jesus Christ. And Revelation ends talking about Jesus Christ. The last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, it closes out promising a curse if God's people, the Jews, don't live right. Now that's interesting. Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But the Jews, by and large, blew it. But this was in God's plan, and I don't want to digress too much. But again, the gospel opens talking about Jesus Christ and his generations or his lineage. He's called the Son of David, and we understand that this book, Matthew, presents Christ as the King of the Jews. He's also called the Son of Abraham. And we understand that Abraham's big deal in life is justification by faith. That's the cardinal doctrine of the Bible. It's justification by faith, not by works, not by church attendance, not by going to Sunday school enough times or being elected or appointed to the deacon board. It's none of those things. It's that we're justified by faith. We understand that God tested Abraham's faith. In chapter 22 of Genesis, we read the story of when God called Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac and offer him for a burnt offering. But as Abraham was about to plunge the knife into his son, God's voice rang out and said, "Abraham, Abraham, I know that you trust me. Stay thy hand. Don't kill your son." And as Isaac had testified, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, but it wouldn't have made any difference. But you see, God sacrificed his son on the cross of Calvary. God did himself what he called Abraham to do. And I'm so glad that we have an opportunity to do as Abraham did and believe God. And as a reward for believing God, it says God counted it to him for righteousness, justification by faith. Matthew gives the genealogy, or the lineage, as we say, the lineage of Christ. Matthew gives the lineage from Abraham to Jesus through Joseph. While Luke, in chapter 3, declares Jesus a descendant of Adam via Mary, the daughter of Heli, or Eli. But there are other begats, if you will. This one in Matthew, the one in Luke. But the Old Testament also gives a genealogy or a chronology or a lineage, a list of begats, a few times. In 1 Chronicles, chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, it says Adam, Sheth or Seth, Enosh or Enoch, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And if you look in the book of Genesis, you'll find Adam, obviously. You'll find Seth. You'll find this list. But it gives the genealogy here. In verse 4 it says Noah, and then it says Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Noah and his three sons and their wives, respectively, believed God and got into the ark of safety. And they were spared the judgment of 40 days' rain and 40 nights, obviously. And then it talks about in verse 5 the sons of Japheth. But Japheth is not in the lineage. Shem is. In verse 17, it picks it up and says the sons of Shem, Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, etc. And it goes on down through verse 27. it mentions Abram, the same as Abraham. And in verse 28, the sons of Abraham, Isaac and Ishmael, and it goes on down, it lists them. These are lists, a family tree, if you will. Generally, if you want to have a family tree, you start with yourself, and then you say, well, mom and dad, and then my two sets of grandfathers, and then my four sets of great-grandfathers, and all of that stuff. We go backwards. And as we saw, you can go backwards in Matthew. You can go backwards in Luke. But God starts at the beginning. In Genesis, the word Genesis means, if I'm not mistaken, beginnings. We understand that God created Adam out of the dust of the earth, and these are his offspring. Doesn't mention Cain, but it says Adam and then Seth and then on down. And you can trace the genealogy, the lineage in this book and in other places. You can trace the lineage of Christ. Genesis chapter 1 and 2 tells us that God created the world and mankind. Chapter 3 shows the fall of man, where Adam and Eve rebelled against God. They lost the innocence that they had by eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They were tossed out of the Garden of Eden, and we know this story. They were tossed out of the Garden of Eden and from the presence and fellowship with God. The rest of the Bible is about God reaching out and trying to restore fellowship with sinful man. And we understand that to do that, sin separates between man and God, and the answer, the remedy for sin, was Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary. And if we put our trust in him, as Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 and verse 13 say, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me say that again. Genesis starts out, God creates Adam and Eve. There's a perfect land, a perfect garden, perfect fellowship with God. God came down to earth and walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Every day, fellowship with God. They disobeyed God, fell into sin. In chapter 3. And the rest of the Bible is about God trying to restore fellowship with man. If you think about that, that's incredible. In chapter 4, we find the record of God, the Word of God, God's words, God's opinion on things, which obviously is perfect. Chapter 4 of Genesis, we find that men without God are truly lost and fundamentally evil. Let me say that again if you didn't understand. Men are fundamentally evil. Men and women, boys, girls, grandpa, etc. Men are not fundamentally good. That was true in the garden, but we've long since been kicked out of the garden. Men are evil. All you have to do is pick up the newspaper or get on the internet or watch the news at night or something. It's very little good news. It's all about this one killed that one, or this country's going to go over there and kill that other one, or something. It's not good news. Again, man is fundamentally evil. Some may be offended at that statement, that you're not really good at heart. You may like to think you are. You may like to think that you have the best motives. But it's not so. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, as it is written in the Old Testament, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, an open grave. Think of it. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the ways of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You say, well, preacher, I'm offended. Well, when I read it, I was offended too. But it's the truth. You say a lot of things about me, but let me make it clear. The thing you need to say is that I'm telling you the truth. I'm not afraid to do so. This book, the Epistle to the Romans, it's often referred to, various verses. Many preachers, sidewalk preachers, Sunday school teachers, what have you, have used this book to take the listener down the Roman road. It's called that. Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I could take you through other verses, but the Bible says that man is not fundamentally good. If man was fundamentally good, Jesus wasted his time on the cross. God wasted his time in John 3:16. Loving the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. Maybe you're used to a different kind of religion. Maybe you're used to a comfortable church where they say good things about you. The Bible has good things for you. It's called the gospel, the good news. The good news is you can be forgiven of your sins. But the bad news is that you're a sinner. I'm sure you've heard that preached many times. But getting back to our text. Again, Genesis chapter 4 says, man is fundamentally evil and truly and utterly lost. Adam and Eve, first ones created. Eve's firstborn resorts to religion. Not a saving faith, not the praises of God, not spending time in an old-fashioned altar, but a different altar. He brought vegetables and said, I worked hard for these tomatoes and cucumbers. Lord, this is my offering to you. And when he was not accepted by God, now think about that. His offering was not accepted by God. How did he know? How did he know? I can stand up here behind a pulpit and say this or that and perhaps make everyone believe that I've done something or said something right. How do you know? It's important to know if God accepts you. It's important to know if your preacher is telling you the right thing. You see, God speaks to the heart. God witnesses to the heart. You know, as a kid, if you've done something wrong, your mom or your dad or your teacher or your uncle or something, you know when they're displeased with you. You can know when God is displeased with you. And as the Word of God is preached in conviction and with power, God speaks to the heart. Cain, he was a religious man, went to church every Sunday. But when God says, no, I don't think you quite have it right, I want you to sacrifice a lamb, something from the flock, and not your vegetables. Cain picks up the first stick he can find and beats his brother to death out of jealousy and envy, because his brother Abel had an obvious walk with God, and it was apparent, as it says in Acts, I believe, that they took note of these men that they had been with Jesus. It was obvious that Abel had a walk with God. It was obvious that God accepted Abel's offering when Abel offered a lamb.
In the soul cleansing blood. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.